This is Cincinnati Edition for a Saturday morning. I'm Mark Purcell. Time to go on the money with Chris DeSimeo.
Buckets of rain pelting the tri-state, almost too much here. Hard to believe that with the nation just being seared by a heat wave and drought, the warmest month in history now in the books, that we've had so much rain here in Cincinnati. Anyway, it's pouring on Wall Street, too. Earnings continue to flood the market, and many of them coming in a little better than expectations. Earnings at least higher. Revenues generally coming in a little bit on the light side. We got a little treat on Thursday morning when first-time claims for unemployment insurance unexpectedly fell by 6,000. Yesterday morning, however, some soft figures in the trade area from China helped the market off to a somewhat sloppy start. Well, nothing sloppy about an article that appeared in the July 8th edition of the Cincinnati Enquirer, a very thoughtful guest column by Dan Cunningham. Dan is the president and CEO of the Long Stanton Group. This is a company that's been in business since the 1860s. It's a 150-year-old company here in Cincinnati in the manufacturing business, and it was named the Family Business of the Decade in 2009. And it's a pleasure, Dan, to welcome Dan to the show. Dan, thanks for taking part of your weekend to be with us.
Okay, Chris, great to be here.
So, Dan, there we were Sunday morning, just minding our own business. Probably by the time we got to the second cup of coffee, here this headline jumps out at us. Quote, a billion-dollar idea for Apple that puts Americans to work. What triggered your idea? First of all, what is the idea that you have that you wrote about? And what were the origins of this somewhat novel train of thought?
Well, Chris, I wrote the article just to get my thoughts in line. And I've been involved in manufacturing for quite a while, but I understand that it's a global world and that we have to become more efficient, and I know that services are a very important part of our overall economy. But it became apparent to me that because of the large volume of iPhones produced for various markets around the world, and particularly I'm interested in the U.S. one, that I began to look into, well, what would it cost to manufacture an iPhone here as opposed to someplace else, particularly China? And all the information, Chris, is available out there if you do the research, and that's what I did. So all the information that was in the article I wrote has citations. So I was able to find out the cost of the materials, the cost of the labor, the volumes. And when you get that amount of information, you can determine profit. So it didn't take too long, and I quickly determined that Apple could add $1 billion to their profit if they would manufacture iPhones for the U.S. consumers here in America. And I think Cincinnati would be a great place to do it because of the infrastructure that we have here.
Yeah, in your article, this was an astounding number. Right in the smack dab in the middle of the article, you talked about some figures that you gathered that talked about the actual cost to make an iPhone and the difference between the materials and the labor. I thought that was stunning. Would you mind going over those again? Just help us out with the math.
Well, for example, and this is all available on the internet if you look for it, but the labor to actually make the iPhone is $8 each, okay? The material cost to make it is $188, so $8 each. And since that estimate for that amount of labor came out, and of course that's being made in China, the Chinese manufacturer Foxconn has increased employee wages by something between 16 and 25%. So the labor content is very small, which you would expect on such a high-volume type item. And with the technologies that we have here in America that we perhaps didn't have 5 years ago, what I envision would be a manufacturing plant very highly robotized, very highly automated, the point that you could mass customize the phones. You could make them not only black and white the way they are too today, you could also make them different colors, blue and purple with pink polka dots if you want, and you could make them today and ship them out FedEx Express that night, and your customers could have it the next day. Mm-hmm. And because it's so highly automated, the labor could actually be less. And by the way, the jobs that would be created by this, they would be people that would be involved in setting up robots, setting up automation, and planning on new iPhones that would come in the future. Those are really good jobs, and those are the jobs of the future. And I can tell you, being in manufacturing, that the low-tech process manufacturing jobs are pretty well gone now. They're the minority. They're going away. All the manufacturing jobs are astoundingly quickly becoming very, very high-tech processes. And that's what you'd use high-tech processes to produce iPhones in America.
You mentioned in your article, that, which again is available online, there'll be a link to it from the WVXU.org website, that it would save about 35 days of transportation time. Where would the other cost saving? Would these phones cost more if they were made here in Cincinnati?
No, they wouldn't. They would actually be a little bit less. For the landed cost here domestically, they'd be a little bit less. There's really four things that would help add additional profit to Apple. One would be, frankly, the assurance of long-term sustainable product dominance, because there's a body of research that shows if you have a high-tech product and you engineer one place, do the R&D one place, and you build another place, such as the Apple phone is the engineered, designed in California. It's manufactured in China currently. The research shows that over time, where it's manufactured, that location will begin to do the R&D work, which means Apple is going to lose their ability to be the leader in their area eventually, and that's going to impact their profit. The next thing would be it takes about 35 days for product from China to come to the States by ship. You can fly it by air freight if you want, but then it costs more. So typically you want to get it on a ship. The problem with that is you not only have working capital expense, but the problem is with the rapidly changing consumer demands, you're kind of stuck. You can't make a lot of different. You can't make near the variety of phones that you need to do. Now I know Apple does their a lot of product differentiation by using software such as apps, and that's very clever. But right now they only have two colors, black and white, and that's because they make them in China, and it's very difficult to have a lot of different colors. So that would give more, and eventually consumers do want more variation in the appearance. Henry Ford found that out when he was making Model A's.
Exactly.
Black, you can get any color you want as long as it's black. Eventually, he lost his dominance to General Motors, and one of the reasons was General Motors gave you all kinds of colors.
They listened to the customer and gave them what they wanted.
That's right. And the other thing is that there's just such a high number of phones being purchased in America. It's 44 million units this year, iPhones. And
44 million. Let that sink in for
44 million. That's the projections for 2012. So the plants in China could easily serve the Chinese market, build a plant here in Cincinnati, and frankly, you could build the plant in Des Moines or Dallas, Texas, and get the same results, but perhaps you and I would just soon have it made in Cincinnati, because we can do it here. And we have the infrastructure here. We have the there's always been concern about workforce development the last few years. That's rapidly changing, at least the vector direction on that, so that the workforce development is getting closer now to what is actually needed. As I say, you go around to factories now, they're rapidly becoming automated to degrees that were unimaginable 5 years ago, and that would play right into the hands of making iPhones here in America.
Okay, so Dan, you've studied at Ohio Northern and Xavier University, and you graduated from the Harvard Business School Owner-President Management Program. You have done a lot of research in this area. What would have to change in this region, if anything, to get Apple interested? What would be what would we have to do differently, if anything,
to get them on board? I don't think that is a problem. So I think Cincinnati has what it takes. Yes, we would have to develop as the market demands it, but I don't think changing in Cincinnati would be the situation. I think it's strictly a matter of talking to the Apple executives, and a lot of people say, well, gee whiz, they should know this. I'm not sure that they do. I mean, it's a younger company. They've only been around, 20, 30 years? And I'm not sure they understand the benefits of making the phones here in the States. I think they, with all due respect, they may be focused on other things, such as new designs and what they're doing, say, in China. I don't think Cincinnati has to do anything except continue to grow the way we are. And we do need to talk to the Apple folks. So I would hopefully like to get an appointment with Tim Cook, the president, and have this discussion with him.
Roughly how many jobs would be drawn to this area if Apple decided to build iPhones here in the greater Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky region?
Well, You know, I don't really have that particular number, but I do know that in China, and they talk about when they got started doing this, they talked about 9,000 industrial engineers, and of course that's a much bigger program. That's iPads and all the various other things. When you include all the different suppliers and so on, I'm not sure they would be as big as our two big local employers, but it would over time become very, very sizable.
So this is an idea then that could be worth over $1 billion to Apple, create jobs here in the greater...
Good jobs.
Manufacturing jobs in the greater Cincinnati region. Well, Dan, I would love to have you back after you have spoken with our friends in Cupertino, California, and give us an update.
Okay, I'd be glad to do that, Chris.
Dan Cunningham, the president and CEO of the Long Stanton Group, and for Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris DeSimeo on The Money.